Back here with part two, Steve Stone. Talk about your transition as we move you into your voiceover career now, where, as you say now, you're about 99% voice work. I imagine you must have felt pretty good about leaving K-Rock and going completely on your own, but was there at all scary for you? Was there any risk to it for you?
Oh, yeah. I was scared out of my mind. I mean, it's like, you're leaving the pinnacle of your broadcasting career. I mean, it's,
yeah.
People were very supportive, and then also some people were like, why are you leaving? You know, it's like, what? Here's what happened. My wife and I had just had our second child, in the middle of 2002, and I was working long hours. The commute was getting super long. I mean, I would leave early. I'd get home, usually past 10 o'clock, and my whole family was asleep. You know,
from Jersey?
Well, we lived in Jersey. Yeah. We lived in Jersey when I was working in New York, and it just got really hard. It got super hard on my wife being at home by herself and caring for two children. And I knew eventually, maybe not right there and then, but I knew eventually I wanted to be on my own. So with the circumstances of having another child, it kind of just kind of sped things up. And also, post 9/11, my wife and I, we realized that we wanted a quieter life for our children, maybe not right there, in the New York area. So my wife's family's from the Pittsburgh area, so we decided to settle back here. But I was also excited because I was going to start my own thing, but I was also nervous because, I was a husband, a father of two back then. It's like you got responsibilities, and
yeah,
and I think my attitude was, you know what, if all else fails, I can go and stock shelves. I mean, I've never been one of those people who takes myself too seriously. I've never thought to myself, that I'm some genius or whatever. I've been very fortunate with my career, and if things were to end, I would find something else creative to do. So I just thought to myself, I'm going to take this chance, give myself, 6 months to a year to make it. If not, I'll go back to working at a station in town. I figured I could get a job with the experience, so that wouldn't be too hard. But I've been very fortunate that it's continued for 7 years, and it's one of those things. It's I've never had a day that since leaving New York that I've regretted leaving New York or not liked getting up in the morning to do the job I do. I'm very, very lucky. I love what I do. It's such a part of me. And the one thing I do miss about working in New York or just day-to-day radio is just the camaraderie with your fellow coworkers. I mean, that's the one thing, when you work by yourself, and I'm sure any other, voiceover person or independent producer is going to tell you, it's the isolation gets to you sometimes, behind four walls all day. So I try to, as best I can, travel as much throughout the year with and without my family to just kind of reconnect with, clients and radio buddies and just try to, feel like I'm not some, crazy old man in a cave.
We're going to talk about your technical stuff here in a little bit. I do want to hear about the type of setup you might carry with you, but I think I might have already mentioned this. For me, of what I knew about you, I knew a bit about you. I had you do a custom for me at one point, so obviously your name is out there and everybody has really good things to say about you.
Yeah, but you hired somebody else, you bastard!
Oh, sorry. I did. Your demo that you cut for me was amazing, but it's Jude Corbett, man. He's the man.
I know. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned Jude because he's really one of the people that I really admired when I first started getting serious about doing imaging and voiceovers, because he was our voice guy when I was working in Pittsburgh 10, 12 years ago. And I would always, always talk on the phone with him and just drive him nuts with all kinds of questions, and was very eager to drain some knowledge. And he's a really great guy, and you're in great hands. And like I said, he and I go way back, and I'm really happy for his success as well.
So as far as the word of mouth, that's all fine and good. And that's as important as it can be. But With you, I noticed that your marketing seems to be pretty aggressive. It seems like you've got banners all over the place. You have, I think I've seen you in some actual, you know, print trade publications. What's your theory on marketing? How aggressive are you with it? Or are you just lucky to have a whole bunch of free crap everywhere? How's that working?
The one thing that I've always realized is that you have to advertise yourself, even though it's a kind of a crowded market with what we do. You have to let people know that you're out there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've been fortunate with is I do have a nice bunch of clientele who have been great to spread my name to other clients. But I've also been somebody who's been very aggressive with marketing, you know, web banners, postcards, sending out you know, custom demos to people, really making an effort. You know, one of the guys who I learned a lot from with that is Joe Kelly at AV Deli.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you've gotten the, you know, back. I haven't seen a lot recently because I haven't been at a station, but I mean, you know, he's always great about sending out, you know, tons of postcards and demos and really, you know, interesting marketing tools for his brand and services. And I've always been really aware of that. So I've enjoyed that. The one thing that I've always been very careful about is when you do market and do advertise, the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to come in a position of weakness. You never want to show desperation or neediness in your marketing. I've always been one of those people who have been like, here's who I am. This is what I do. Here's how you can find me. I've never been one of those people. It's like,
okay,
hey, I'll read 25 pages for, you know, for $10. It's,
yeah,
you know,
I understand. I thought you were going there. So
yeah.
Don't act like you just have all these great specials, like it's a grocery store coupon list, but it's more important to just tell people who you are and that you exist.
Yeah. The thing about it is, listen, what we do is special. I mean, not everybody in the world does what we do. We're very fortunate people. You have to keep that specialty up with what we do. You have to keep that uniqueness, because if we just, you know, throw out you know, quantity over quality, then it just becomes a giant mess. I mean, that's kind of like where, that's kind of the things that I get frustrated sometimes, because I think that there's enough work for anybody out there who's willing to work hard. And I think that nowadays, especially with the economy being hard, people, you know, people are starting to feel it and people are starting to get a little freaked out. And I think that the worst thing to do is to freak out, because there is so many avenues for creativity out there besides radio stations. There's television stations, there's internet, there's multimedia, there's animation, and things have just exploded in different areas that I think it's, you know, it's really important to consider yourself a creative type and not just a, you know, radio creative type. I think that you don't want to pigeonhole yourself, you know.
Let me ask you, as far as your marketing goes, I mean, you don't need to tell me a specific number, but like a percentage, let's say you earn 100% of your whatever you earn, what percent of that do you put into marketing or put back into advertising yourself?
I don't have a specific percentage or equation. I do plan ahead, though. I do plan quarterly and annually for marketing, and I think that's really important. No matter what kind of budget you have, is to sit down and figure out what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, where you can get the most bang for your buck. And I think that one of the best ways to market yourself is not looking at it as a you know, I'm trying to find an analogy here. It's not like trying to send a postcard or a, you know, a demo out to everybody, but to hyper focus on specific radio stations or specific people that you want to work for or with in the future. I think that goes a lot farther. I think it reaps more benefits in the long run, and it's cheaper than just doing a blind 50,000 postcards to every radio station in the world. I think if you really are smart and sit there and say, you know what, I'd like to be a voice guy in the Dallas market. So I'm going to do some research and find out who the imaging guys are in Dallas, who the program directors are, what formats there are. You know what? I may not be strong with with country. So I'm going to focus on the rock stations, or I'm going to focus on top 40 or talk. Again, it's almost like, you know, it's a whole nother job marketing. And I've been very fortunate to have people that I've been able to get some knowledge from and some help. But it's really important to keep that top of mind awareness of who you are and what you do.
You're pretty successful. You have a lot of stations and a lot of different clients. I guess for somebody who's, you know, still coming up, or, you know, still trying to kind of build their business, obviously you say plan ahead, and you've had some really good pointers on the type of marketing, but is there, I guess I'm trying to think of how I should, I want to say this. Is there better ways to do it? Do you think that it's better to do it all yourself? Are there people out there that you would actually rather just have do it for you? You know, are there specific tricks to that aspect of it?
Well, here's the thing. When you go off on your own, when you're an independent person, you pretty much do everything yourself. You know, whether that's licking envelopes or printing out mailing labels. And then you start getting wise and realize, you know, my wife is just sitting there. She could do this. She could help out. Or, you know what? My niece and nephew over there, they wouldn't mind getting a couple bucks for stuffing envelopes. So you start kind of realizing you got to kind of not work harder, but work smarter. It's trial and error too. Sometimes you sit there and go, you know what? I wasted my freaking money. I can't believe I did that. And I'm sitting on all these CD. I remember actually 2 seconds. This is actually super important because 7-8 years ago, when I first got on the idea of going on my own, I designed and had all these CDs pressed for demos, and I sent a bunch out, and then I realized as soon as I sent out that first wave, the demos were no longer valid because I'd gotten different work, you know? Like the demos just seemed old then, and I thought to myself, I got boxes of this shit. What am I going to do with it? I mean, I got coffee coasters now up the ass, you know?
Yeah, so, that is tough. I've seen that happen to people. I think, luckily, today, I mean, I don't get very many CD demos anymore.
Actually, FirstCom does a
cool thing. I'm sorry, what's that?
Yeah, no, I mean, nowadays, it doesn't matter. But back then, I was just, you know, I was so gung-ho. And I know for sure I blew a lot of cash unnecessarily. And if I'd realized that I should have spent more time and money on my website to begin with, I could have updated my demos for free. You know, it's like just click upload instead of sitting there. I mean, I think I still have a drawer full of these demos. So if you ever feel like target practice, I'd be more than happy to send you a box out there.
I'll cruise out to Pitt and we'll do some skeet shooting with the CDs.
Well,
I just wanted to make sure we spent a good amount of time on the marketing, because you're very good at it, and you're out there everywhere. And like you say, you're not the hey, come try me for free and all, you know, because I mean, people do that and that's fine, but you definitely do have that pointed, just, hey, you know, this is who I am, and if you like me, you can hire me, but now you know me. So
yeah, well, I appreciate that. I mean, the thing is, again, it's not a, you know, putting an ad out, sending a postcard, it's not necessarily going to get you a job. It is an awareness, and it's also frequency. That's how, you know, that's how radio, we sell radio. It's like frequency. I hear that ad every hour. It's starting to sink in. So, you know, it's consistency and it's top of mind awareness.
You're a tech guy. I mean, you're into that, and we want to talk about your setup, but you actually have two studios. You have a place you go. You've rented a facility of some form. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, last summer, I decided to open up a studio outside of the house. My kids are getting older now, and the house has started getting too noisy.
Yeah.
For working here, so I packed all my stuff up and I opened up a studio that's honestly 5 minutes away at an office building, and It's the best thing I've ever done in my life. It's great. It's like my own space. You know, nobody's running around. The dog's not barking. The lawnmower guy's not coming by my window. But it's a great place to go and focus. I still do have a home studio. It's a lot more pared down than what it used to be, because I don't need to have, you know, all my stuff. All my stuff's not at the main studio. But I, you know, both facilities have ISDN. Both facilities have the same mics, the same processing, the same Pro Tool system. So there's uniformity. If I'm working here from home or working from the main studio, the sound's not different. That's really important for me, for consistency.
Yeah, let me talk about your mic chain. I know you said, I asked you before, but you said you're cool with letting people know what you use. Because it's funny.
Yeah, you know, I've always found it funny that some people are really protective of that. But my whole thing is this, okay? I was not born with what I feel is a traditionally strong, big, booming voice. I mean, right. You know, when I was born, you know, God had already given Corley his voice, okay? Yeah. So I don't have that big booming voice, and there's only so much you can do with a microphone and processing. It really is your personality, it's your point of view that comes through the microphone, through the air. So that's why I always kind of laugh when people are secretive about the processing, because it really isn't about that. It's about everything else but that, really. Obviously, as you start getting more work and getting some success, you want to upgrade, you want to, you know, do those things. So, I mean, there's always been a wish list in my mind of what I've wanted to get, and I've been fortunate to be able to kind of slowly but surely get, you know, my studios the way I really like them.
And what do you have then? What's your rack?
Both studios, again, have the same microphones, the same setups. I use two different microphones. The mic I'm on now is the Sennheiser 416 shotgun, which is pretty standard mic for a lot of promo people and radio imaging. And then I also have the Neumann U87, which I like to use for commercials and for narration. It's just got a little more open feel, a little softer. Sennheiser I have running through an Avalon M5 Pre, which is super nice. I love it. And I've only had this for about a year.
I've only heard good things about that. And it seems like when you hear someone has a Sennheiser 416, they have the Avalon.
Yeah, I didn't want to get the 737 because, honestly, I just wanted a nice pre. So I've been fortunate with that. Excuse me. I'm like, let me get a sip of my water here.
Yeah, I just had a belt of whiskey myself. So go ahead.
Nice. is that standard stuff now when you imaging country stations? Does they make you drink whiskey?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to go to church every morning, and then I come in and drink myself silly and do work. So it's weird.
Yeah, so well, the plugins that I like to use is pretty standard with what comes with Pro Tools. I'm a big fan of excuse me, man. I'm a big fan of their built-in compressor limiter. Yeah. I mean, they've got some pretty nice standard stuff. The one thing that I have really liked working with for like compression and limiting is there's two different companies. One is called Wave Arts, and they make a plugin called Track Plug, which is a really nice little channel strip. It's got built-in, you know, built-in EQ, built-in compression and limiting and stuff. It's really nice. I've also been a big fan of like the old vintage type stuff that they have as far as plugins. I mean, there's some really, really cool British and German plugins that, you know, emulate a lot of really nice old limiters and compressors. The one that I really like a lot is the EMI Chandler Limited EMI compressors and limiters, that the Abbey Road plugins that came out. They're really cool. They're really nice. And again, you don't really have to spend a lot of money with plugins, because most of these DAWs, even if it's Adobe, Cubase, whatever else, comes stock with so many great things. Pretty simple process when it comes to, you know, voiceovers. The other microphone that I use is the Neumann U87, and I've got that going into a True Systems P2 analog preamp, and it's really nice.
Is that the single channel?
This is actually a dual channel. They make a single channel called the P Solo, which is pretty cool.
I was going to say, so I've heard a lot of people recommend the P Solo when you want to spend as little as possible for as much quality. I think it's still like $500 to $800, somewhere in there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great box. And if you've got like a simple setup at home, not a lot of room, it's awesome. And I still have one somewhere. I think I might have let my friend borrow it. But they're great. They're great. And I've got the same setup at the other studio as far as the pre's and stuff.
You're on all Mac systems then.
Yeah, I'm a snob with that. with that.
Yeah. Two last things about your setup. Do you have the little whisper rooms, or how's that going? How's that work?
Well, here at home, in my basement, I've got my office has a cove, like a little nook that is where I set up my desk, and I've got soundproofing on the walls and panels, and it's a very quiet area. I've got a drop ceiling, so I really don't have a whisper room here at home.
Okay.
I moved that over to the main studio, and I do have a whisper room there, but I've got two different mic positions. I've got a mic position at the desk that is... if I'm doing auditions, I'm doing a lot of quick stuff, but the booth is where I'm spending, you know, most of my day.
Yeah.
But the last thing is I do have a mobile studio that I travel with. When I do travel, I do work, and you know, I've got basically the same thing as I have at the home studios. I use the shotgun mic. I use a MacBook Pro. I use a little small little, you know, Pro Tools M-Box, and it's great, man. I mean, it's a really great feeling to be able to travel and work. You know, that was never something that you could ever imagine when I was still, you know, working in radio to be able to do what we do. I mean, I was actually on a flight last fall, and I was doing a bunch of production on my laptop in on the airplane, and I was just kind of laughing at myself thinking, you know, how goofy is this, you know?
Yeah, I remember hearing back in 01 or 00 that Trent Reznor was actually mixing the current album for Nine Inch Nails on a plane, and some trade did a big article on it, because it was like it was really the first time in this era that you could do everything mobile. And you know, that's not that long ago, and now it's, you know, you can do anything. It's great.
It's amazing, and the thing that really kind of scares me is where it's going, because, you know, I'm a big fan of the iPhone, and honestly, it's going to be there's going to be a day where I'll be sitting at dinner at a restaurant, and, you know, I'll get a phone call, and I'll get, you know, I'll have to go and cut something, and I'll walk into the bathroom at the restaurant and just talk into my iPhone.
As we I have one favor that I'll ask you, which people really enjoy and find very useful. Would you mind popping open a couple of your plugins on the screen there and taking a screen cap for people to kind of see what your settings are? Do you mind doing that?
Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, that'll be cool. People will enjoy that.
You sure you don't want any risque photos of me?
You know what? I was going to discuss that off the air here.
You know what's funny? My wife doesn't want those photos. Okay, nobody else does, all right?
Well, yeah, we'll leave it at that then, Stone. I forgot. You know Joey Pepin?
Yeah, I know Joey.
He said he had something homoerotic to say about you, but I forgot to write it down.
Weird. So, I met with Joey at a workshop in LA last year. He's really a cool guy.
Yeah, good guy. One of the many voice people that tune in. He'll get a kick out of this interview, I know, and I know he's a working guy. He's doing all sorts of stuff. So the way I like to end these episodes is by asking you, and you may have already said it too, because you have given people a lot of advice and tips and tricks already, but if you could give one key piece of advice to somebody getting into either the voice world or trying to become a successful producer, or maybe you have both, what would that be?
I think that there is a lot of confusion between emulation and imitation. And I think emulation is one of the foundations of expanding your creativity. I think imitation, in the long run, doesn't get you to where you want to be. I think that if you just search out the meanings of those two words, I think you'll understand what I'm saying. That's really how I was able to progress, was by hearing people's work. You know, trading, you know, back in the day, we'd trade cassettes of people's imaging, and you'd sit there and you'd pick apart people's work and take what you felt was strong and incorporate that into your skill set. But you wouldn't sit there and say, I'm going to be just like this person. I think the one thing is, a lot of people out there are super creative, and that there's not one true answer for every creative problem. I think that the best thing to do is just to have an open mind when you're listening and watching things, and take the things that interest you and incorporate that into your, like I said, into your skill set. But I've taken, you know, like I said, I've taken the bits and pieces that I've felt stood out the most to me and tried to incorporate those qualities into the work I do. And the other thing too is because people sometimes feel like a lot of us are so busy that we don't have time to talk to people or to give advice. I got to be honest with you. The busiest people doing what we do are the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah. I've talked about that in past episodes. The people who have the most success are that way. And I think it's circular. You know, they've gotten there because they are that way, and they stay that way, and they continue to succeed.
For people that have been very gracious and nice to me are Joe Cipriano.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Corley and I go way back. I mean, we're talking 15 years. He was one of the first voices that I ever produced. Brian James was the same way. God bless him.
Yeah.
Keith Eubanks, God bless him, was somebody who I, you know, spent a lot of time talking with and corresponding with, and there was a lot of great knowledge. There's a lot of people. I'm forgetting a lot of names, but again, if you've got a question for somebody, ask it. What's the worst that's going to happen? You know.
So are you opening the floodgates now? People, it's cool if people email you some questions.
You ask anybody that knows me. I'll spend hours talking to people about stuff. I'm just, you know, I'm always the person that says, you know, I don't have the answer for everybody, but I can tell you what I've experienced, and really that's what it comes down to is. Here's what's worked. Here's what's not worked for me. And like I said, I know I'm a lucky guy. I am not. I'm not particularly handsome or debonair or very well coordinated. But for some reason, I've got some skills that come together very well behind a microphone, and I'm very happy to do what I do. And if it all ended today, I would still be creative in some aspect.
You know what? Great point to end on. Steve Stone, the one and only stonevoiceovers.com. I'll have links to your site up on my site. I'll post some of your audio so people can hear it as well. And then if you get me those screen caps of the plugins, people will really enjoy that, and that'll all be on the podcast page on my site. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
And let's round it out here. Let's hear some more of the great Steve Stone. We'll get this some of his rock stuff, some of his, from his rock demo right here.
WXRK, New York. K-Rock. Fresh meat at 6. Now. On 92.3 K-Rock. Q101. On Shuffle. This is what everything alternative means. Listen all weekend to score tickets to see Fall Out Boy at the St. Pete Times Forum April 27th.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did he just say, and these are the flies that you love to breed? What the f***?
Log on. Talk trash. And win. At 96x.fm.
Now that X-Fest is over.
Oh, sorry. What you hear is what you get. New rock first. Death Cab for Cutie.
I will possess your heart.
Radiohead.
Get about your house and car.
Tampa Bay's new rock alternative, 97X.
There you go, a little more Steve Stone for you. Again, stonevoiceovers.com is his main website. You can hear all of his demos, contact him. He is one of those guys, if you have a lot of questions about stuff. I mean, I'm always here, but I'm not a professional voiceover artist. I guess technically I am, because I get paid for it a little bit, but, you know, it's not my main deal. So if you want to throw some questions at him, he's more than willing to help, and that's really cool. Also, go to the podcast page on RyanOnTheRadio.com, because I'm going to post some screenshots he sent me. And there's a few links. Actually, I forgot. Obviously, I'm delayed in getting this episode up from when I wanted to, so I've had a few emails with some cool tips sent into me, different utilities, resources, and whatnot. I'll put all that, the show notes, podcast page on RyanOnTheRadio.com. You can get the audio there, of course. And then if you haven't actually subscribed, I just did air quotes there, but that doesn't really work on this, that does it. So, yeah. Okay. You can get the link to subscribe however you get your podcasts. iTunes, of course, but however else you might get them too. So thanks again for checking it out. I've got a whole slew of different things I'm working on. It's crazy, though. This last month, people are just unavailable, which is good. I guess people are staying busy. But, you know, I'm excited. And the annual, the first annual show, the first anniversary show, that's it, that will be on in late August, because I think I did my first one August 20th of 08. So it'll be in late August. A very, very special guest is going to be the interviewee. I really can't wait. I don't even know if I want to give a hint. The hint will be this person has been mentioned on an episode or more. One or more episodes of the Producers Podcast. I can't wait. This is going to be awesome. Thanks again for listening. Bye.
The producers. Send your questions, feedback, guest requests, love, and of course, constructive criticism to show at ryanontheradio.com. Episodes available through iTunes, other podcast sites, and ryanontheradio.com. We thank our guests for their expertise and time. We thank you for listening.